Ron Van Dam. He's classy, sassy, and a little bit brassy. You thought I was going to put gassy in there, didn't you? Well, you know, it wouldn't be wrong, but let's just leave that for now. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Not really, no.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yeah, it's educational.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It's educational and informative, yes it is.
Hey, don't touch that. God, keep your hands to yourself. Don't touch that. Welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. I'm the one in the middle. I'm the one waving to you right now. That's me. If you're listening to this show in your car, look out the window to the left. That's me waving to you. Hi. Hello. If you're listening to the program and you're in your house, go to the window quickly. Look out the window on the front lawn. That's me. Hi. How are you? If you're in your house in the living room, run upstairs to the bedroom. Go into the bedroom. I'm with your wife. Hi. Hi, that's me with your wife. You know what day of the week this is? I don't either. I think it's Friday. So this is the Friday weekend edition of the program. Which makes it special? No, not really. That's enough background music. Thank you so much. Thank you. How are you today? How's everything? How is everything going? Are you ready to start the show? Okay, you talk and I'll listen. Huh? How does it feel? Right? All right, now you understand. I don't think you do understand. You know, you probably think this is easy for me. Every weekday, I sit down in front of a microphone, a little bit of background music, some support from comedian friends, and I talk incessantly for half an hour. And you're thinking, man, Ron, that's the easiest job in the world. Well, it's not so easy. I have to get up 3 weeks ahead of time in order to prepare. Every single word I say is carefully crafted by a writer. I'm reading off of a script right now. If I say anything off the script, the show stops because I'm off script. Everything is so well prepared. Even my pants have been pressed, and I don't even do television. How do you press pants, by the way? That's a very, very odd phrase for pants. Pants are weird, man. We wear them, but they're so strange. I've talked about this before. We don't wear a pant. We wear pants, more than one pant at a time. We're wearing a pair of pants. Each leg is apparently a pant. I did not know that. You can't wear a pant. You have to wear a pair of pants that are connected at the crotch. It's a very strange garment, believe me. And when you want to make them look good, you press them like an elevator button. It doesn't make any sense. I still don't know what Martinizing is. I've looked that up on that internet machine, and I don't know what it is still. I don't think dry cleaners are Martinizing anymore. I don't know who Martin is. I think he made extra money by saying, I'll Martinize him, and he takes your pants in the back room and he spits on them and then he presses them. I don't know what Martinizing is. I think I read once that it's just a fast method of getting your pants back to you, or dry cleaning. How do you clean something dry? Don't you have to wet it first? I don't understand the whole industry. Pair of pants. Unbelievable. You know, after Labor Day, you can't wear white pants. It's an arrestable offense. In Texas, they'll execute you for wearing white pants after Labor Day. How is it that women can wear white pants anytime they want and they always look clean and wonderful and sexy? A man wearing white pants looks like half of a Good Humor Man. And within seconds, there'll be barbecue sauce on the pants or some kind of stain in the rear that we don't want to talk about. Men wearing white pants? No. No. Don't ever wear white pants. You're probably saying to yourself now, is this guy going to make an entire show out of pant talk? I could. But I won't. Thank you very much for suggesting it, though. It's not a bad idea. I was watching one of those commercials yesterday for I don't know which one it was. I think it was that religious cult chicken chain. I can't remember what it's called. Chicks are free. Chicks fill. Hey. Anyway, there was a commercial for some chicken sandwich at one of those fast food places where you have a couple of them and you will die within a week. Yeah, they take a healthy thing like chicken and then they deep fry it so that your arteries reject it. Anyway, so I'm watching it and some lady on this commercial says, this is the way that we make chicken. Your chicken is juicy, and then I see these cooking shows. This is how to make a juicy chicken. I don't want my chicken to be juicy. I don't want juice coming out of my chicken. Chicken juice. I don't see any bottled chicken juice in the stores. I see chicken broth, but no chicken juice. If you have chicken juice coming out of your chicken's raw. You don't want chicken juice. I don't want my chicken to be juicy. Now, I don't want it to be dry and chewy, but I certainly don't want it to be juicy. Adjective, incorrect. And they do it about meat as well. Oh, I had a nice juicy piece of steak. It was juicy. Maybe it was tender, that would be nice, but juicy, no. An apple, a peach, an apricot, maybe even a watermelon, juicy, because juice is supposed to come out of it. I don't think juice should be coming out of chickens and steaks. Juicy, my ass. Ooh, that too. All right. Are you having a good time so far? I know. I understand. Went to a restaurant recently. I'm going to restaurants again now that they're open and I don't have to wear a mask because I'm vaccinated 20 times over. And damn proud of it, by the way. So I go into this restaurant and I'm sitting down and I'm with my wonderful girl, and I'm with also another couple. I'm rarely with another couple in any event going anywhere. I don't travel with other couples because that's more than a couple, you see. Also, I don't get along with most people for more than 10, 15 minutes, and that's a stretch in itself. But here I am in a restaurant with another couple, and the server comes over, a lovely young lady, I'm sure in real life, but this is not real life. She's there to serve me, to fulfill my every command. Now, I don't snap my fingers to get the server to come over. I simply yell in a very, very respectful manner, "Hey, you!" That's all. It works. So anyway, so she comes over and she introduces herself, and I thought that was adorable. She says, "Hello, I'm Jenny. I'll be your server." Well, that prompted me to respond by saying, "Hi, I'm Ron. This is my lovely lady. And this is the couple that I'm with, Bob and Marcia. Bob and Marcia are from Rochester, New York. They're visiting. I'll introduce their children to you, even though they're not here, if we're still doing introductions. Are we still in that phase, Jenny?" So Jenny announces that she's going to be our server. And, fine, whatever. And then she says, "Can I get you a couple of glasses of water?" And I said, "No, just one glass of water for me will be enough, but they may want some too." Jenny doesn't laugh. It was meant to be a humorous thing to say. Then Jenny says, "Can I get you an alcoholic beverage? Would you care for a cocktail?" And I think what Jenny was saying was, "Would you care for a cocktail, because it'll appear that the food is that much better, and you'll be so sauced by the time the meal's over, you will tip me gratefully." She's trying to get me drunk is what she's trying to do. And I don't blame her. One bit. So she comes back, I think 6 hours later, with the water, and she says, here's the water. Can I take your order, please?" And I said, "Fine, Jenny, but I don't know enough about you. Where do you come from? Are you a law student?" Anyway, so we place our orders, and this Marcia, who is the female counterpart of the other couple that we're sitting at the table with, she orders a salad, and I felt like saying, "Marcia, we're in a restaurant, and you're ordering a salad. What are you doing, Marcia? What are you doing? There's cooks in the back preparing all kinds of fancy foods for you to eat, juicy chickens and everything, and you're just asking the chef to put his hands in a bag and put some lettuce on a plate with some dressing, a tomato, and maybe a cucumber, and that's why you're here? You don't order a salad in a restaurant. What are you, crazy? That requires no effort on the part of the short order chefs in there. Make them work. And besides, the salads are $10 for a piece of lettuce, a tomato, and a cucumber. If you want chicken on that, that diced chicken, that's an extra $8. Now you're spending $18 for a salad. What are you, crazy? That's nuts. Order something decent, Marcia, or get the hell out of here. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. So Marcia does order the salad. And I don't know if she's on a diet or what the hell her problem is. So we eat the food. The food's okay. You know, again, I had a cocktail, had a martini, so the food is probably better than it actually is. And then Jenny, my server, says, would you care for dessert? Did you leave room for dessert? What am I, 6 years old? Did I leave room for dessert? Where do you see the room occupancy sign? Do you have enough space in your stomach for more food with a lot of sugar in it? Diabetes boy. Wow, Jenny, you're getting a little hostile here, huh? No dessert for me, Jenny. Thank you. And by the way, anybody else at the other tables, if they left food over, wrap it up, put it in a container, and I'll take it home. And of course, it's for my dog. Whether you have a dog or not, it's a great, great line. You know, oh no, it's not for me. I'm not a gluttonous pig. I don't walk out with the food that I'm not eating. It's for my dog. But why shouldn't I walk out with the food I'm not eating? It's my food. I paid for it. Why would I send it back to the kitchen? So you can throw it in the garbage. There are people starving in third world countries. And you're throwing the food out? No. Pack it up, Jenny. I'm taking it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not into eating in restaurants. I've talked about this before. I don't get enjoyment out of sitting across from people watching them chew while they're talking. It's not an entertainment thing for me. Every time I hear this, like let's go to dinner with that other couple. No, let them eat first. I don't want to watch them eat. That's disgusting. They put food in their mouth and then they talk and it's churning away as they're trying to speak to me and they're only 3 feet away. I could be hit by one of those food particles. No, I don't want to see them chew their food. No, I don't. And the worst thing about going to a restaurant with another couple is breakfast. Eggs are not meant to be seen. I don't know. I've never found that to be entertainment. I really never did. No, never did. Well, then the check comes along, and Jenny hands me the check. At the bottom of the check, she's written in her finest writing, thank you, comma, Jenny. And the I has a little heart over it. I don't know what that meant. Am I supposed to call you later? I mean, what's this about? Why are we being so familiar with you bringing food to the table? Did you cook the food yourself, Jenny? No, you brought it to the table. I will tip you because you brought it to the table very well. I'm grading you on your posture, how well you walk, and how you balance the food plates on your hands. I'll give you this, Jenny. I'll give you this. In the old days, because I'm a little older than you probably. I was born in 1902. Oh, God. the servers used to walk around with trays, food trays. Do you remember those things? See, millennials don't understand what food trays even are. They used to walk out with a food tray. They would take one hand and balance all the plates. Would be placed on the food tray, and they'd walk over with the food tray and sometimes even hold it with two hands. But it got the job done. Not anymore. That's wuss stuff. That's wussy. Now the servers take the food, and now it's some kind of Ed Sullivan Show juggling act. Again, millennials not understanding that particular reference. They'll take 5-6 plates, place them on their arm. Yes, my entire dinner plate is close to being tucked away near their armpit. Jenny, hope you showered. But it is an acrobatic feat. I expect juggling music in the background. Perhaps my dinner plate is being spun on a stick, you know, like that plate balancing act. I must say, I tip well for the expertise of juggling a lot of plates at once. And then when the server removes the plates from the dinner table, they are stacked, and then she's like 10 plates with silverware and stuff, and nearly nothing is dropped onto the floor. Why, she brought over my martini. I have martinis in restaurants because it's what you're supposed to do. It's a sign of sophistication, so just do it. The server brings over the martini, and it's filled to the brim, but it doesn't spill. And you know why else I order a martini? Because if the bartender doesn't figure out the proper amount to put in that shaker thing, the shaker will be put on the table so that I get a martini plus a little bit more in this little shaker container. It's a good deal. It's the best deal going. Anyway, I tip very, very well because I know that servers make next to nothing. No. Restaurant owners do not pay the wait staff much of anything. They exist on tips. So when they go to work, they don't know exactly how much they're going to be going home with. And that's an adventure for them. So I tip very, very well. Oh, yeah. I go up to 30% sometimes. If the bill is low, I'll go up to 30%. I'll buy some of them automobiles. I mean, perhaps I go a little overboard. It's an empathy kind of thing. Anyway. I know. Thank you very much. Do I get applause for any of that whatsoever? Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The restaurant bit. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. We'll be right back after this.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
How are you?
How are you, Kelly?
Doing well.
Excellent. Kelly Anderson is here. She serves as Senior Director of Health and Drug Policy at the U.S. Chamber's Global Innovation Policy Center. And thanks for being with us today. It's quite a title.
Thanks so much for having me on today. I know it's a bit of a mouthful.
In light of the recent pandemic, I guess people have awoken as to like what could possibly happen here. Was there always innovation and research before this virus even occurred, or has this kickstarted what could be the future now?
You know, I think some folks might be aware that there's ongoing clinical research happening right now in their backyard. But I'll tell you, my mom is a nurse, and she didn't know that clinical trials were happening in her own hospital. And you know, I think while COVID-19 really still dominates our daily lives, what folks might not know is that right now, the innovative scientific community is investing in the next generation of treatments and cures to try to treat a range of diseases, from coronaviruses to cancer to HIV/AIDS. So in Massachusetts, for example, there's actually 21,000 clinical trials happening statewide.
Are these being performed behind closed doors, or is it simply that they haven't been promoted and there's no reason to do that at this point?
I mean, it's all publicly available information. You know, you can go to clinicaltrials.gov and find if there's a trial happening near you. Or in some cases, you know, different patient advocacy groups will create awareness about the clinical trials that are happening to try to get folks to join.
How do I support this effort? Is there a way that I can?
Yeah, you know, I think what we saw during the global pandemic is that American innovators have really tried to do their part to help fight it, but they can't do it alone. So we are really relying on local leaders to help put forth smart innovation policy, which includes maintaining strong intellectual property protection and ensuring that businesses and individuals receive a fair value for their innovation. And those protections are particularly important to small and medium-sized businesses who make up about 80% of the biopharmaceutical pipeline. So, you know, what we're telling folks in local communities is that, you know, we need your help calling on your local policymakers to help protect innovation, because with those right laws in place, we can really ensure that the next generation of innovation is invented here and exported to the world.
Excellent. Well, that's great information. How indeed do we contact? Contact our representatives and make the case?
Yes, absolutely. So if you visit uschamber.com/discover-and-deliver, there's actually a website where you can contact your local representative, and we encourage your viewers to do so.
Okay, one more time, that website?
uschamber.com/discover-deliver.
Okay, well, thank you to our guest. I have no idea what she was talking about, but whatever.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your monthly New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have planned for you. Aquarius, your life lately is the result of a lot of really questionable choices. I don't see that changing anytime soon, but I do see a lot of Mexican prison food. Pisces, watch out for your evil twin. Not the one you already killed, the one you weren't aware of. Aries, in your endless search for meaning, remember to check between the couch cushions. Taurus, you've got a career change coming. You probably weren't thinking about it and didn't know about it, but your bosses and coworkers certainly have. Remember, friolators get really hot. Gemini, bad sushi means a good lawsuit. Mazel tov! Cancer, chances are pretty good that you are going to get hit by a bus or a derailed train. Leo, don't stand too close to Cancer. Libra, romance is in the air for you. So is a raging STD, thanks to Miss or Mr. Right. Or both. Virgo, start saving now for your dream vacation. Looks like the money will go to bailing out your quote-unquote Uncle Freddy again, but it's best to plan ahead. Sagittarius, exposure to a leaky microwave at a chemical plant will give you superpowers. Or some kind of really bad tumor, not exactly sure which one right now. Sorry. Capricorn, you are about to make two new best friends, tequila and despair. So stock up on limes and Kleenex. That's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, or indeed you are having a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I will be back on Monday with a brand new show, but until that time arrives, take care of yourself. And I mean that, because that's important. And in the meantime, I wish you peace.